Deuteronomy chapter 18. The message tonight is, be not deceived. It will be a general consideration of deception, seduction, leading astray. And I want to read this portion to you to show how God has anticipated this deception and what he's done about it. Deuteronomy 18, verse 20. That the prophet that shall speak a word presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or shall speak in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. And if thou say in thy heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? You see how relevant this is? How shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? And this is what he says, verse 22. When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. The prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. Now, chapter 13. This is why you have to be so careful. We've just read, well, the test is elementary. A prophet says something. If it doesn't come to pass, you know the Lord did not speak those words. Oh, let us see. Chapter 13, verse 1. If there arise in the midst of thee a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he give thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass whereof he spake unto thee. You say, well now, he's going to be a true prophet because I just read that if he speaks it and it is fulfilled, that's one thing, if not another. All right. Here is a prophet that speaks, gives a sign, and it says, it comes to pass whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or unto the dreamer of dreams, but the Lord your God proveth you, to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You say, there is the second test. Now the other you will find in Matthew 7. I won't read that to you. I'll tell you these things perhaps as we go along, but turn to 2 Samuel now. 2 Samuel for an example of deception. 2 Samuel chapter 15. 2 Samuel chapter 15. Absalom, David's most beautiful son, it says in verse 6, and on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. And it comes to pass, after the end of so many years, he lies to his father about a religious vow that he took. And the king says to him in verse 9, go in peace. So he arose and went to Hebron. But Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom is king in Hebron. And with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were invited, and went out in their simplicity, and they knew not anything. 200 men went out in their simplicity, they knew not anything. And last scripture that I will read to you is in Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 3. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. The first thing he says when he's asked a question, he says, take heed that no man deceive you. Verse 11. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Now, look at verse 23. Then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is the Christ, or here, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you beforehand. If therefore they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the wilderness, go not forth. Behold, he is in the inner chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh from the east, and is seen even unto the west, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we would like to think that there is good in all men, that when men speak of God and religion, that they speak the truth. We are thankful that you have disillusioned us from the portions of Scripture that we have read. We think of another Scripture, all men are liars. We remember the Scripture that says about infants, they go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. So, our Father, we thank you for simplicity. We thank you for trust. But, our God, we have read of the simplicity of those who followed Absalom. They knew not anything. Our Father, deliver from this simplicity, we pray. We desire, our God, to know what is your voice and what is the voice of a false prophet, to know indeed about the coming of thy Son, and to know indeed that he has not come. So by thy Spirit, illumine us, we pray. Prepare hearts and lips, and our Father, we confess our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. There is absolutely no reason for any of the true children of God ever being led astray. You say, but so many are led astray. That is because they do not know the book. If they knew the simplest portions, such as the one that I read to you, in Matthew chapter 24, the tragedy that happened in Waco, Texas, would never have occurred. Understand this. If anyone ever tells you that the Lord Jesus has come, if anyone ever tells you that he is the Lord Jesus, immediately, God has said, he is false. You understand that? If someone says, he is in Texas, he is in New York, he is in California, the Savior says, believe him not. You understand that as I was talking to you about things of the future, in the resurrection, in the regeneration, in the restitution of all things, it says concerning our Savior that the heavens must keep the Savior there. The Christ must stay there until the restitution of all things. But if this is so, and if the Lord Jesus has told us again and again in Matthew chapter 24 that he is not going to come back to earth until a given period of time, now understand this, you say, but what about his descent from heaven with a shout? What about that? All right, we'll accept that for a moment and think about it. If he descends from heaven with a shout, is anybody going to tell you where to go and find him? Or are you going to be caught up to meet him in the air? You say, why, yes. If the Lord Jesus descends from heaven with a shout, and he comes to earth, and I haven't met him in the air, woe is me. And so if anyone is telling you that he is here or he is there, immediately you know that they are giving you false information. They are deceiving you. And when the Lord does come, remember that you will know belonging to him, because God has said his coming is going to be announced audibly and visibly. We'll take what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And so if the voice of the archangel with a shout, with the trumpet of God, is going to announce his coming, that is an audible warning that he is coming. There was no such thing as he's here, he secretly, he quietly came. If he comes, there is going to be this earth-shattering sound that shall be made by voice and by trumpet. And it says that when this sound is made, it says the sound of many waters, and when an angel speaks, it says that the earth shakes because of the greatness of it. And yet some are saying, no, he has secretly come, and he's here, he's there, he's in the desert, he is in the inner chamber. The Lord Jesus has already told you in advance, believe it not. If anyone tells you that he is the Messiah, that automatically proves him to be false, because the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is going to remain in the heavens until the time of the restitution of all things. He is not coming to earth and then again, as he did with Peter and Andrew and James and John, go around making disciples. The next time he comes, there is no making of disciples. That is the termination of disciples being made. There will be no more saved after that. So all of this, had they read the simple announcements of the Lord Jesus, they would not have been led astray. And the Savior said that it's going to be that way. The first thing he said when he was asked about his coming was, yes, so many are deceived. And the Lord Jesus said, even though I tell you to be not deceived, many shall be deceived. And so for that reason, I have no sympathy for you or any other professed child of God who is led astray by these charlatans, by these false Christs, by these false prophets, because if they had read the book, they would have known. And when I heard the man say that if you read the scriptures, you must accept that I am the Messiah, immediately I knew the man was false. But some, because he said that, they believe it. Do you know to whom the Lord Jesus told that he was the Messiah? He told one person, the woman at the well of Samaria. They would tell him that he was the Messiah when the Savior met Nathanael. And this was when he was on earth. This isn't going to occur again. But concerning the Savior, if he were coming to earth, he told Nathanael about his being under the fig tree. And Nathanael said, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. You are the Messiah. You see, he told him. The Lord Jesus did not tell him. He did tell one woman, and it was so amazing, in John chapter 4. He's speaking to the woman at the well of Samaria, and when he gets through, she says, well, when the Messiah comes, he will tell us all things. The Lord Jesus said, you have been speaking to the Messiah. I who speak to you am he. But ordinarily, men looked at him and found out that he was the Messiah. If anyone now says that he is the Messiah, know that he is not the Messiah. If anyone tells you that he's in some secret place, in a building or in the wilderness, the Lord Jesus says, do not go, because they are deceiving you. They are leading you astray. And so, if any of you ever are inclined to check out a report about the Lord Jesus having come, that the Messiah is here, I have no sympathy with you. I told you where he has to stay, until a certain time. And when he does come, if he descends from heaven with a shout, it's not to come to earth and hide, and we go and visit him secretly, and only a select few know where he is, and there is a little following. That shall never happen. And so, for that reason, the Savior has told us in Matthew 24 about his coming. And he says, there shall arise many false Christs and false prophets and shall lead many astray. Now, there are some more subtle than what I've been talking about. They do not say that they are the Messiah, but they say, I am a prophet. But the Lord has given us the test concerning the prophets as well. Do you see? But he says, in spite of that, it said they are going to lead many astray. All right. If this is so, and you say, well, these people that are being led astray, why, they are innocent. They are simple souls, and God should have mercy on them. No, because the Savior has said this. Concerning the message that a false prophet gives and the message that a true prophet of God gives, the Lord Jesus said in John 7:17, if any man is willing to do God's will, he shall know if the doctrine is of myself or whether I speak from God. Grasp that. He said, if you are willing to do the will of God, you shall know. And so it's not, can I know if this is the message of God? The Lord Jesus said, if you are willing to do, you shall know. The willingness of the heart, the receptivity of the guidance of the Spirit of God, and rejection of the false spirits, the satanic spirit that is in the world, the Lord will preserve those that are genuinely interested in finding the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, many of those that he led astray would have been saved had we told them the truth. Do you know how many souls are going to be lost because you didn't tell them the truth? Do you know how many souls are going to be lost because they were told a lie and did not hear the truth? Not one. The Lord Jesus said this, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. And him that cometh unto me, I shall in no wise cast out. Do you believe that? You say, I have to. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. Well, some of those 100 that died in Texas, they would have come to the Savior, but they didn't come. The Lord Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. And I must tell you a little something about the elect, because in a coming day, during that tribulation period, men will seek to lead them astray. And it said, signs and wonders shall be shown. And it said, if it were possible, they would lead the elect astray. But it's impossible for the elect to be led astray. At times, you can go along with some false doctrines. No one is perfect in his doctrine. You have to be ever so careful in studying and knowing the Word of God. But concerning basic things, such as the lies and the deceptions of all the charlatans that are preaching in the world today, that saying, I am the Messiah. And Sun Myung Moon and all his moonies, they believe that he's the Messiah. And David Koresh had them convinced that he was the Messiah. And not one of them that follow those men and confess these men as the Messiah shall be saved. Because the ones that truly confess the true Messiah will never be led astray by a false Messiah. There may be the stumbling, the going along, the wondering for a while. Just as when our Savior was first risen from the dead, they did not know it first, but quickly John understood, and then Peter understood, Mary understood, then they understood. And so often, as the Lord Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me. The voice of a stranger will they not follow. And this is why I am concerned about all of those that watch those charlatans on television. Those that are doctrinally evil, those that are morally evil, and they're not able to see through it. Let me give you this personal testimony. I was in a Christian home one day. This was years ago. and the television was on, and I saw this clown and his wife on the television. And I said, who is that? They said, why, that's the renowned Jim Baker and his wife. It took me about 1 minute to discover that there was nothing to them. And in like manner, after Jimmy swaggered and all of his immorality occurred, you can't grasp that this is not of God, but still, people will continue to follow them, and if they do, having been exposed by the scriptures, then God will have no sympathy with them. It speaks about some people who receive not the love of the truth, but because they did not receive a love of the truth, it said in the future, God is going to send them with a strong delusion that they might believe a lie. And so if there is one who is truly seeking, eventually he will find the Lord Jesus Christ. Because while he is seeking the Lord, little does he realize that the Lord Jesus has been seeking him. And there is always the coming together of one that is truly seeking the Lord. One that wants to know the truth. The Savior has promised, if any man is willing to do God's will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether I speak of myself or whether it is of God. These are the promises of the Lord. Now, I told you that in Matthew 24, we read in 5:11, and also at the last, be not deceived. The word is, do not be led astray. You see that again and again. Being led astray, deception, lies, corruption, all of these things. And the Savior says, do not be led astray. But listen, it not only says it there, but it says it again and again and again. This is what it says in Corinthians. It says concerning the people that are going to heaven. You want to know who's going there? You say yes. You say, why, anyone that believes in Jesus, he's going to heaven. That's true. If the faith in Christ is wrought of the Spirit of God, anyone who believes in Jesus is going to heaven. I cannot deny that. But this is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6. He says, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Did you hear what he said? He said, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. And then he tells us who the unrighteous are. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves, drunkards. And he goes on. And he says, none of these shall have any portion in the kingdom of God. He said, and such were some of you. But you were washed, that you were sanctified, that you were justified. And so all of us would fit into one of those categories. Such were some of you. But if we continue in sin that grace may abound, the reply of Paul is, God forbid. And if we do continue in sin and we say, well, I'm a carnal Christian, the book of Hebrews speaks about the things that accompany salvation. And Paul said, if they do not accompany salvation, he said, be not deceived. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And so if we were those things in the past, that by God's grace are delivered, we shall inherit the kingdom of God. But if we were those things in the past, and the power of God does not deliver us from these things, then we are deceived if we think we are going to be a part and have an inheritance of the kingdom of God. He has warned you in advance. John says the same thing in his first epistle, chapter 3. He said, my little children, he said, let no one lead you astray. Let no one deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. The Lord Jesus said, by their fruits shall ye know them. But we like to say, well, he takes the name of Jesus on his lips. Thank God for that. But the Lord said, by their fruits shall ye know them. And John says, let no one lead you astray. Little ones, beloved ones, do not be deceived. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. So by faith we trust Christ. But that faith that we trust Christ with is a living faith, a dynamic faith, and it enables us to be delivered from the power of sin. It says this, this is the victory, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? He that believeth that Jesus is the Messiah. Not these false messiahs that started coming upon the scene from the first, and not the ones that are coming upon the scene now. Be not deceived. So there it says, be not deceived. These people are not going to have any inheritance in the kingdom of God. And he says this in chapter 15. So few Christians believe it. It said, be not deceived. Evil companionships corrupt good morals. Now, if we as Christians go and visit those that are astray and seek to restore their souls, that's one thing. But when we as Christians go to get some support from the lost and to have fellowship with those who know not Christ, go to fellowship with the carnal Christians, not to bring them from their carnality, but to engage in that carnality. Paul says this in chapter 15. He said, be not deceived. Evil companionships corrupt good morals. And the evil companionships of that chapter, some were saying, there's no resurrection of the dead. And Paul was telling the dire effect that that companionship and the doctrine that those individuals taught that it had upon the Christians at Corinth. He says the same thing in 2 Timothy. He says this. He said, some have said that the resurrection is past already, and they overthrow the faith of some. Think of this. These evil companionships. But it says concerning those that are heretics and bring false doctrine. It says, after rebuking this one, and heretic, after a first and second admonition, rejecting, get rid of him. Why? Because evil companionships corrupt good morals. The Bible tells us not to be deceived. And it tells us this also. It says, be not deceived. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. They that sow to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And they that sow to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. It said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. And so he had told you, and if he has told you this again and again and again, be not deceived. Then, if we are companions of evil, corrupt friends, then it says they're going to corrupt your good manners. And at the same time, if we think we can continue in sin that grace may abound, Paul says, do not be deceived. You have no inheritance of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Christ. All right. Here are the sections, and John says this. He says, my little children, he said, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits. But how do you prove the spirits? That's what I read to you in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Here is a man who says he's a prophet. He is the voice of God. How do you prove the spirit? And the Lord said, you prove him this way. Listen carefully to what he says. And if what he says does not come to pass, I did not tell him to say it. That's elementary, isn't it? And yet some will make prophecies, false prophecies, and they still will follow those false prophets when what they said did not come to pass. And God said, if he says it and it does not come to pass, I did not put those words in his mouth. He's a false prophet. And he said, you do not have to be afraid of him. And all these false prophets, this is what they say. I've heard those that were with the Mormons. And they said, if you leave the Mormons, you will be condemned, and your children to such and such a generation, they will be condemned. And David Koresh and the others say, if you leave this compound and forsake us, you'll burn in hell. You see, they tell you all of these things. And God says, you do not have to be afraid of these false prophets. If the Lord Jesus said, you are in my hand, no one can pluck you out, you will never perish, then none of the lies of these false prophets are going to come to pass. All of their threatenings you may laugh at. But if the Lord says something, if Paul, if John says something, and you do not believe it, then beware, because God is not mocked. We think he is. We read those words and we say, well, others may do those things and suffer the consequences, but if I do them, I will not suffer the consequences. Then you are deceived. You think God is mocked. If you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. God is not mocked. And at the same time, well, I listen to all religious programs because I believe there's good in every man. There may be that good that is mixed with poison, and you will take them both. And so you are not to have evil companions because they corrupt good morals. Morally, we can be destroyed. Doctrinally, we can be destroyed, and our whole life can be ruined. It may be that at the very last, God has to snatch us out of Sodom as he snatched Lot out of Sodom. It may be that as Lot had to be rescued by Abraham and his men, it may be that we have to be rescued. And in Ezekiel 34, it speaks about sheep that have gone astray. And in Amos the prophet, it says, and when we go and we get them back, the only thing that's left is a little piece of ear, a little part of the body. The enemy has destroyed them. Why? Because they were deceived. They went out in their simplicity. And the only safety against it all is to know the word of God. When Satan came and tempted our Savior, he said, it is written. He knew what was written in the word of God. And we read, be not deceived, in John. We read it in Paul. We read it from the lips of Christ again and again. And therefore, if he says, be not deceived, I want to know this area in which I might be deceived. So, you can never be led astray by anyone who tells you, the Messiah has come. You say, oh, no, he hasn't. Because when he comes, he's coming for me, because he promised that having gone and prepared a place, he would come again and receive me to himself. He is not going to have me searching for him as if he were hidden, lost as I was, as a sheep in my unsaved days. He is not going to have us to search him out that way. But he will come from heaven, and notice, he comes, and audibly when he comes, it is apparent, and also visibly it is apparent when he comes. In the coming of the Lord, as set forth in 1 Thessalonians 4, it is an audible alarm. The voice of the archangel, the sound of the trumpet. But in Matthew chapter 24, it is the visible announcement of the coming of the Lord. Well, how do I know if the Lord has come? It's this easy. It says, as the lightning lighteneth in the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. And therefore, you can see with your eyes as clear as a lightning bolt, and you can hear with your ears as clear as the voice of God and the trumpet of God, and there is no reason for this delusion. Now, understand that in Deuteronomy 18, if they say a thing and it does not come to pass, then a false prophet. In Deuteronomy 13, if they say it and it comes to pass, but then they teach you false doctrine, it is false. If a man tells you and shows you by a sign, and he says that I am a prophet of God, you say, well, I read in Deuteronomy 18 that if it comes to pass, why, God said it. God said, no, that's part of the test. He said, the second test is this. If he performs a miracle, and then he tells you false doctrine, God says, now I'm testing you. I want to see if you love me. I want to see if you will follow my words, or if you're going to be led away by some false sign that this man gives. Yes, I enabled him to give that sign. Why? To see if you love me or these false signs. And some people are quite prepared to forsake what is written in the word and follow after signs. That is why when one that is charismatic comes and tells me of all his powers and all his abilities, I'm quite glad to hear that. I say, demonstrate it. Because in the early church, apostles and prophets came telling who they were. It says in the church at Ephesus, it says, you put to the test those that say they are apostles and they are not, and you have found them false. And so people came who said, we are apostles. The church at Ephesus said, we're going to put you to the test. And they put them to the test and they failed, and they said, you are rejected. And at the same time, it says that we are not to despise prophesying. But it says, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Reject that which is evil. And so you are not to despise them, but you are to prove all things. And you prove it by seeing if what he said came to pass, by seeing if the sign that he gave is accompanied by helpful doctrine as it's expressed in the word of God. You say, all right, suppose he gives a sign and he gives helpful teaching from the scriptures. Is there anything else? Yes. The Lord Jesus said, many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not perform miracles in your name, mighty signs? Did we not cast out demons? Did we not do all of these great things? They may have done it, because God in Deuteronomy 13 says he empowers some to do that, to see if you really love him rather than all of these demonstrable signs. And the Lord Jesus will say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Notice, you workers of iniquity. And so if a man says one thing, but he is a worker of iniquity, that also is his exposure. And so if a man comes and preaches to you as the mouthpiece of God, because that is what a prophet is one who makes known the mind of God. He speaks the truth of God. There is power in his words. It's in harmony with everything that's in this book. And he lives a life that is above reproach. Then God says, you may accept him. Now, you are not to accept him because he is beautiful outwardly. Of all David's children, evidently, the one that was most beautiful was Absalom. And he had a golden tongue. And it said he won all the hearts of the children of Israel. And 200 coupled him in their simplicity. It said they knew not anything. But God will not let that happen to us if we know the test of the Messiah, of false prophets, of truth. God says he will not let us be led astray. This Joseph Smith, the false prophet. Why? Because Joseph Smith was able to organize his church, the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints. He said, back when he was on the earth, there was confusion among Christendom, and God had made it so that no one could know whether the Baptists or the Methodists or the Presbyterians were right, and because no one could know, God sent me to tell them what was right. That is a lie! Because in 1 John 2, it said, you have an unction, you have an anointing from the Father, and you know all things. You need not that any man teach you, but as the unction, the anointing that God gave you, teacheth all things, and is true and is no lie, and even as it teaches you, abide in Christ. And for that reason, the Spirit of God was in us, and the Spirit of God told them then what was the true church, and what was the false church. And at the same time, God has made a promise that if you are willing to do his will, you shall know whether the doctrine is true or false. And so, it is with sorrow we see those that are led astray. Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Scientists, Mormons, it is with sorrow as the Lord Jesus looked at Jerusalem and wept over it. He said, if thou hadst known, even thou in this, the things that belong unto thy peace. But now they are hidden from thy eyes. They could have known, but they would not do the will of God. It says they love the glory of men more than the glory of God. And so with sorrow we look at those that are lost, that in a coming day their being lost will not be your fault or mine, but it will be their own. Be not deceived. Let us pray. Our Father, we see how dire are the consequences upon occasion of those that follow men. We know that in some cases they are led astray by false doctrine, and their whole life long they go through life at peace, at ease, believing that these things are good. But we remember that the rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torments. We know, Father, that some will not discover it until in hell they lift up their eyes. We are thankful that all men who want to do your will, who want to know the truth of God in a genuine way, not one shall be deceived. All shall know the truth. We are thankful that there shall not be one soul in hell who wanted to be in heaven. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. And we are so glad that thy Son said, and him that cometh unto me, I shall in no wise cast out. So, Father, if there are those here who are inclined to go astray, let them hear the voice of your Son. Let them know the Scriptures. Let them know the test that you set forth in your Word. And let them be not deceived. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.